Hi, everyone. This is Bronson Tang with Atomic Mail. I have on the phone a very, very special treat. I have Bill Inman, father of data warehousing. For those of you obviously familiar with Bill, he is a prolific and well-known author worldwide in data warehousing and business intelligence. He's written literally over 50 books, 650 articles. He was named in Computer World as one of the top 10 IT people who mattered in the last 40 years. He's got 35 years of experience in database technology and data warehousing, and I was really, really excited to have him on the phone to talk to us about business intelligence and data warehousing. Thank you, Bill, for being on the call.
Thank you, Bronson.
So to begin, could you tell us a little bit about how you got started with data warehousing?
Certainly. I was working in the early mainframe environment, the IBM days when everything was an IBM mainframe, and I was struggling with the problems of trying to do analytical processing with transaction-based systems. And transaction-based systems are optimized around response time, and trying to do analytical processing over large amounts of data in a transaction processing environment is sort of mutually exclusive. So that's what gave me my first thoughts to the need for a different kind of architecture from the one that we were having at that day and time.
Wow, that's fantastic. In your opinion, in one sentence, how would you define data warehousing for the folks out there?
Well, the definition that I've always used is a data warehouse is a subject-oriented, integrated, non-volatile, time-variant collection of data in support of management's decisions. And that definition is the one that's being used. I've never seen a different definition of data warehouse than that. I believe that that is the universal definition of what a data warehouse is.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. It's interesting. A lot of businesses, especially nowadays with cloud computing, business intelligence, are storing large amounts of data across multiple platforms. What, in your opinion, are some of the biggest misconceptions about data warehousing?
One of the issues and problems relating to today's push towards big data is the lack of understanding that data warehouse is an architecture, not a technology. The whole motivation for a data warehouse is to have a single version of the truth. And just because you can store lots and lots of data in big data does not mean that you've got a foundation for the single version of the truth. And so today there's a lot of vendors, Cloudera being one of them, that talks about if you bring in big data, you don't need a data warehouse. Well, that's simply not true. Organizations need a data warehouse as long as they care about the integrity of data for making decisions in the corporation.
So let me ask you, kind of veering off a little bit, so do you see a lot of discrepancies with the advent of big data and data warehousing and maybe people confusing, like as you mentioned, these two concepts and thinking they're one and the same?
Yeah, I do see a lot of confusion that's out there. For a while, primarily Teradata tried to sell data warehouse as something to store any large volumes of data. And the price point of Teradata was such that was a very expensive proposition. And so what happens is as people try to build data warehouse, if they think a data warehouse is merely a place to store large amounts of data, they're going to be disappointed with the vendors that exist today, because certainly there are large volumes of data, and things like Hadoop are quite good at storing those large volumes of data, but there's a difference, a big difference between a data warehouse and large volumes of data. Indeed, data warehouses oftentimes do involve large amounts of data, but again, it's the difference between an architecture and a technology.
Interesting. So that's one of the, that's a big difference between these traditional RDBMSs that exist in data warehousing. Would you agree?
I certainly agree.
Okay. That's interesting, yeah. Because like Hadoop and all those companies out there, I know that a lot of people are really mixing these two concepts, and it's great that we can get your expert opinion, you know, the father of data warehousing, literally to tell us what that differences are. Let me ask you a question. What do you feel are some of the, you know, the big, huge emphasis today, like regarding big data, as we've mentioned. What, in your opinion, would you define big data as?
Well, to me, big data has four characteristics. Number one, it has very large volumes of data. Number two, it has the ability to store data on inexpensive storage. Number three, it has data that's stored in an unstructured format. And number four, data is managed under what's called the Roman census approach to management of data. And I believe when you talk to people in Silicon Valley that this is a pretty much the accepted definition. Having stated that, there are lots of people with other definitions of big data. But to me, that's the definition that I subscribe to.
What do you feel? Another side question is just kind of veering off track. Why do you think this concept of big data and all this talk of big data has become such a push? Is it just marketing folks getting their hands on ways to market infrastructure, or is it something really that is a huge growing need of the population?
That, Bronson, is a very involved topic. I don't know how much time you want me to spend answering it. I recently had a book come out last December called Data Architecture, a Primer for the Data Scientist, in which we go into links about that subject. But the long and the short of it is that a lot of organizations are going into big data and are finding that business value in big data is very hard to find. And so then you ask the question, why is it that business value is so hard to find? And you're led to a subject that not many people are talking about, but they ought to be talking about it, and that's the subject of the difference between repetitive and non-repetitive data. Repetitive data is data that is highly repetitive. Things like clickstream data, log tape data, call detail records for the telephone environment, those are all examples of data that's highly repetitive, as opposed to data that's non-repetitive. Non-repetitive data is things like call center data, email data, warranty claim data, etc., and so forth. And so far, the people in Silicon Valley and the new startup companies have focused the spotlight of big data on repetitive data. And the problem is that there's very little business value in repetitive data. I was talking to a gentleman from a utility the other day in which they've spent millions of dollars going in and taking the metering data for the utility and putting it into big data. And so far, they've been able to find out, after analyzing and paying millions of dollars for the infrastructure, that when it gets cold, people use more electricity and heat.
Okay.
And you laugh, but let me give you another example. Another example is the telephone call record detail data. In the United States, on a daily basis, hundreds of millions of call record details are created. And every time somebody picks up a telephone, makes a dial tone, and gets a connection, a call record detail record is created. And so you can imagine that in a day's time, hundreds of millions of call record detail records are created. Now, how many of those call record detail records have business value? And the answer is very few of them do. If what you're looking for example, is activities of terrorism in the United States in the day's time, out of 100 million records, maybe there might be 10 records that are of interest. Certainly on a percentage basis, very few records. And yet, the people that are going after big data are going after all of this call center data, log tape data, the clickstream data, et cetera, and so forth, and they're just not finding business value there. If, on the other hand, they were going after the non-repetitive data that's out there, which is data such as the call center data, such as email data, warranty claim data, are three good examples. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's business value in every record that you find. And so one of the things that I find to be very disturbing is the fact that the people that are spending huge amounts of money on big data are not asking the question, what business value do we expect to get out of this data? I am afraid that we're going to wake up one day and find out that big data is another dot-com bust. Does anybody remember the day and age when people were running around with dot-com this and dot-com that, and everything had to be dot-com? Well, where are those people today? Where are those technologies today? And the problem with dot-com, nobody ever asked a question. Where's the business value? And so I think that when I look at big data, I am disturbed to find out that we're not asking the question, where is business value? And I think that that's going to lead to some severe disappointment with what is being done with big data today.
So business intelligence, I mean, that's a good segue into that. I mean, that's another area of expertise. It seems to me what you're saying is or what I'm interpreting, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this is the intelligence of understanding business intelligence within businesses is just not there.
And there's 100 reasons for it, but you're absolutely right.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that kind of eliminates the following question about mistakes, obstacles, and pitfalls, which I wanted to ask you as businesses are making. We've obviously covered that. Let me ask you, in regards to data warehousing, where do you see the future in the next, let's say, 60 months, 5 years out?
Well, I think that there is a lot of work yet to be done on the traditional world of data warehousing, but I think that there is an emerging new world of data warehousing, and that is the data warehousing as it applies to the world of unstructured textual data. I think that there is real value in textual data. And I think that with new technologies, we are for the first time able to go into textual data and start to understand and analyze that data. If you stop and think about it, the world of data warehousing has been dominated by the world of structured data from the beginning. And there's nothing wrong with structured data, but what we find is that structured data represents only a minority of data in the corporation. The majority of the data in the corporation is of the textual variety, and it's only with new technologies that we're able to go into and understand and use analytical tools against textual data.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen in the world of social media, they have a lot of tools out there that are actually analyzing emotional sentiment and things of that, profiles and social media in regards to keywords and things of that nature? Would that fall under the unstructured or the non-repetitive that you're talking about?
That would fall in that category, but I'm going to tell you that I think that there are much more fertile worlds than the world of social media. While social media is an interesting world, and while there is some value there, you look elsewhere, and there is other kinds of values that are not being addressed by social media.
What other values would you
for example? Well, for one example, is medical records. Being able to go into medical records and take those medical records. Today, when a doctor does research, a doctor is limited to what the doctor can read and stuff into his or her head. And that's an interesting thing to do, but the truth is that even with the smartest doctor, you can only read and analyze, you know, at most, maybe 15 or 20 narratives of a patient. But if you were able to automate the movement of medical text into a database, then a doctor, instead of looking at 10 or 15 records for research, could look at 100,000 or 1 million records. And so in terms of being effective, by being able to open up the world of analytical processing in medicine to people that need to look at tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of records, it means that there is a whole world that's being untapped today. And so that's one example of what we mean by business value outside of social media.
So like patient profiles, because I know in the state of Vermont they have a huge data push to automate the data, and I know that they're working with that and trying to get patient profiles to see like if the visits for the doctor have been beneficial, the treatments and so forth. Is this the kind of data that you're talking about?
That is the kind of data I'm talking about.
Okay, correct. Fantastic. Let me ask you another question. So as our data needs grow, for example, in this area, in the medical profession, how do you feel businesses, or how do you think businesses should properly prepare for the future, you know, when it comes to managing their own data? Is there anything they can currently make any recommendations? In addition to hire you and consult with you and bring you on the staff, what other recommendations would you have?
I am going to take a turn here that I don't think you're expecting, but anyway, I'm gonna say these words anyway, and there are going to be some people that are very much offended by what I'm about to say. But when you take a look at the track record of the IT organizations in the world, the truth of the matter is the success rates of the IT world have been, quite frankly, miserable. And there's 100 reasons for it, but when you take a look at business trying to get value out of the IT function, the IT function has let business down over and over and over again. And so what I think in terms of the future of where things are going is that I think the most successful products, the most successful pushes into the future are going to be where the end user directly has control over their results. They want to do whatever they can do to remove the IT function from getting in the way. Now, I know that there's a lot of people, and by the way, there are some quite good people in IT. This doesn't include everybody. But when you take a look at the track record of business struggling with IT to get satisfaction, across the board, it's been a bloody, bloody conflict. And so when I look at the future and I would give people advice, looking to things like the cloud, looking to things like technology that gives the end user direct control over their future when it comes to IT, I think that's the wave of the future.
Mm, okay. Are you moving or are you in a stationary place right now? Because then the phone is cutting in and out a little bit.
I'm in a stationary place.
Oh, okay, fantastic. The signal might just be a little bit choppy, but I am calling you over the Atlantic. So that's interesting. So let me ask you, if we were to quantitatively give me a number from 0 to 100, 100 being excellent, 0 being dismal, what number comes to mind as far as quantitatively saying, as far as the competency of IT in regards to business, you know, being of support or creating value? 0
okay.
to 100.
I kind of have to divide this question up, because when it comes to running transactions and doing transaction processing, I have to give IT a good 70 or 80 on a scale of 1 to 10. However, when it comes to meeting the needs of the user from the standpoint of satisfying the full set of informational needs, I have to give IT about a 10 or 15 on a scale of 1 to 100.
Mm, okay. And obviously there are a bunch of contributing factors. Are there any factors in your above and beyond what you stated in regards to, is there any other factors that come to mind?
There are so many factors. I'm thinking about writing a book about it, and I'm serious. There's the history of what's happened. There's the complexity of technology. There's the changing business needs. There's the interpersonal relationships between the IT organization and the end user. And I'm not kidding, there are so many factors. It's a really interesting story, and I am considering writing a book about that particular topic. So there's so many factors. Believe me, you don't have time, and I don't have time to sit here and discuss them all.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. That's awesome. Let me ask you, in closing, I always ask my guests this question with a series of questions, but what question should I have asked you when it comes to, for example, cloud computing or data warehousing that I didn't, and why is it important, and what is the answer?
Well, the number one, as far as I'm concerned, the number one burning issue that's out there today is business value. And the world is nuts about big data and technology. But over and over again, when you start to talk to these companies that are doing big data and you mention business value, the truth is they have no clue as to how to get business value. The argument that you get over and over again is the vendor goes to the company and says, well, you better do big data, because if you don't, your competitors are going to be doing it, and you'll be behind. And that's what you get over and over again. But when you say, okay, well, that's an interesting observation, but can you tell me why we should be doing big data? You know, what is the value that I'm going to be going for? The answer is build it and they will come. Build your data, big data infrastructure, and then it will become apparent why you did. And that's simply not proving to be true. So the number one issue that people should be focusing on, but are not focusing on, is business value. And so if I were interviewing people and talking with people, I would bring up the subject of business value over and over again to try to help people understand. You know, I'm afraid, you know, I remember the dot-com world, and people in the world of dot-com never asked the question, what is the business value of all of these things that we are doing? And the same thing is happening with big data today. People are saying, oh, we've got to do big data, but then you ask, what is the business value? Oh, we'll get to that later. And the truth is, you're not going to get to that later. That's the first question you should be asking, not the last question you should be asking.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah, it seems that's a prominent theme as far as the competency, as what you mentioned before in regards to IT contributing and adding business value. I think those two words are huge. To continuously ask, what is the business value of what we're doing in every facet?
Everything we do. And by the way, if you don't have an answer for business value, you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Well, thank you very, very much, Bill. I appreciate your time. I know we tried to connect earlier, and I really, really, really appreciate it. I mean, you're literally a hero of mine in studying data.
Well, thank you, Bronson.
I was familiar with you and read your books, and it was a complete honor to interview and speak with you today. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.